This is the Photography Podcast on photography.ca, episode number 79, how to customize your camera for free. Hey there, photo lovers. How's it going? And welcome to the 79th Photography Podcast on photography.ca. My name is Marco, and as always, we're coming to you from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. For today's show, we are going to talk about how to customize your camera for free. And basically, we're talking about using the custom function settings in your camera. And these are settings that control how your camera works. And you can customize it to make it work the way you want it to work. And there's a lot of hidden options that people are not going to know about if they have not delved into these custom functions. And we're going to talk about those today. But before we do, I always like to give a shout out to people that left comments in our last podcast, number 78, where we talked about how to dress appropriately for the winter and winter photography gear. Quite a few people found it interesting, and Wicked Dark, Jack Label, F8&B There, Seffy Box, 42, and Castle 403, they all left comments directly in the blog, favorite way to get them, so thanks so much. But as always, you can leave comments in the blog, send them to me by email, photography.ca@gmail.com, or join in on the forums and leave your comment that way. Okay then, so for today's show, we're going to talk about the custom functions in your camera. And Canon calls these custom functions, Nikon calls them custom settings, and I'm basically going to do this according to my experience and people that I've spoken to. I've just recently purchased the D700 from Nikon, and it's a really good camera, and I'm going to talk about the custom function settings on that camera, but likely any camera is going to have a certain set of custom functions. The camera I had before that was the 30D from Canon, and there's also custom functions there too. Olympus, Pentax are all going to have custom functions. They may work in a slightly different way. You're definitely going to have to look into your manual, but whatever I say here, a good percentage should apply to any new digital camera that you own. Okay, so basically in podcast number 75, where I talked about how to buy your first DSLR, I told people not to spend a few $1,000s, but basically to spend a few $100s and set aside the majority of their money on the lenses. And I'm sure a vast majority of people absolutely ignored and did not listen to what I said, and they went and overspent on their first DSLR camera. Okay, if you are one of those people that overspent, at least now in this podcast, you're going to be able to get some value back. Because by customizing your camera and doing a little bit of research on what you already own, you can make that camera work better. So some of those bells and whistles that you may have paid for, you're going to learn how to control them maybe slightly better in this podcast. All right, let's start talking. So basically, again, these custom functions change the way the camera works from their default settings that you get when you buy it that are programmed by the manufacturer. And you can tweak these settings by using the custom function. So just some of the things that you can use in the 30D, for example. There is a custom function that allows you to use ISO 3200. That's the high ISO. If you don't go into the menu and customize that function, your highest ISO is 1600. Now, whether or not ISO 3200 is good on the 30D, that's another story. It's not, but anyway. But if you have a choice of getting the shot or no shot at all, and you need that one-stop extra exposure, well, then you're not going to have it if you haven't delved into that custom menu. So what I recommend is like take a beer, take some cigarettes, whatever you need to do, just relax. Sit down on your couch, preferably in the day, look through your manual, and you could just practice with your camera and see the different effects that it has. I say during the day because you could just like, you know, fire it at the window if your couch is near a window and you could just see some effects right then and there. But you're going to want to sit down with your manual for a few hours if it's a newer camera, and maybe only for like a half hour, 45 minutes if it's an older camera. But you're definitely going to want to sit down and play. And you'll find that it's going to be a very, very, very worthwhile investment of your time if you do this. And like I said, your camera may call the custom function something different, but just look in the back of your manual for something called custom, and there'll probably be a similar name or word that they're using, and that's how you control those settings. Another simple one from the 30D, the 30D I think had like 18 custom functions, but One of the ones that I used a lot was on the back of the camera, it had two dials. It had a larger spin dial that you could spin with your thumb. And then it had a much, much, much smaller dial that moved like up, down, left, right, and diagonally. And you can choose which one of those buttons controls the autofocus points on the back of the camera. So when I got the camera, the default setting was this big dial on the back of the camera, and you had to rotate that dial either clockwise or counterclockwise, and then the focus points within your viewfinder would change. I found that to be a monster hassle. I hated it. And luckily, there was a custom function from within the camera that allowed me to use the other, I think it's called the multi-controller button. Yeah, I think that's what it's called. And with that button, you just push it either up or down or to, you know, diagonally, and that moves the focus point much faster than spinning the dial counterclockwise. As any of us know, sometimes we need to get the shot in like a jillionth of a second, and that little lag between using your thumb to go clockwise or counterclockwise versus selecting the point directly can make a big difference. So there's, depending on how you use your camera and what you photograph, you're going to find that some custom functions will be very useful for you and some won't. Basically, the camera manufacturers don't know who's going to buy those cameras, right? So they turn a lot of the useful features off by default because they don't want people screwing up with the settings. But if you already know a little bit about the camera and you already know a little bit about the photography, or you just play and see what the, you know, if you turn it on, it does this. If you turn it off, it does this. If you just play a little bit, you'll learn what they do. But major manufacturers turn a lot of the better, good, juicy stuff off so you won't screw up your photos when you don't know what you're doing because they don't know who's going to buy the camera. All right, there we go. Another one that keeps driving people crazy, and on the forum we get this from time to time, is that the shutter sync speed. So when you put your portable flash in the hot shoe of your camera and you turn on your camera and it shoots with the flash, very often it would select a speed that you did not want. On my 30D, it usually selected like 1/15th of a second. I did not like that at all. And a lot of people were like, well, how do you change that? How do you change that? You change that in the custom function settings. And I prefer a faster shutter speed on my flash, usually around 1/60th. Sometimes I do like 1/15th. I do, but not all the time. And the majority of the time, I don't want 1/15th. The majority of the time, I want something faster, closer to a 60th. And that setting, again, you can set in the custom function menu. And that's just how it's done. Now on the D700, which I've just had for about a month or so, maybe 6 weeks, that is a very, very, very complex camera. It's like 100 times more complex than the 30D by Canon. It's so much more complex that the manual is close to 450 pages long. 450 pages for a camera. Unbelievable. But part of it is in detail, it goes through all these custom functions, and there are tons of them. Whereas there might be 18 in the 30D, on the D700, I didn't count, but there's probably close to 40 or 50, at least. You could even include other settings that bring it higher. But by going through these settings, again, slowly but surely, you can customize them to the way you like. I'm going to talk about a few of them now, a few that I like, and you may like them too. But again, you're going to have to go through the manual. So a really simple one, again, is like controlling autofocus. How autofocus works is quite important for people that like and use autofocus, people that do sports, people that do weddings. You know, when you're dealing with moving targets, the autofocus has to be precise. And the more precise it is for the way you shoot, the more success you're going to have and the more sharp pictures you're going to have. That simple. So for instance, how many sensor points? That's something that's controlled in the custom menu function. I like 51 points. The D700 has 51 autofocus points. Love it. I want to be able to shoot all 51 of them. You can have only 21 focus points show up. You can have 11 focus points show up. It all depends on how you shoot. Sometimes you don't want your viewfinder to be too crowded. I like mine crowded. I like seeing all those points and having the ability to control those points individually. So I like it, but a lot of people don't. Control it by the custom menu function. Another simple one is, let's say you're focusing something on the left of your screen, right? And then all of a sudden you want to focus something on the right of your screen. Well, if you've chosen the center point at the extreme left, there's a wraparound feature. So if you're at the extreme left and you push the button one more time to the left, it'll go to the right side. If and only if you've set the wraparound feature in the custom function menu. Simple thing, of course, it's a simple, small thing. But when you're focusing on something critically, you don't want to waste that extra 1 second to bring the sensor from the left to the right by going all the way, tuck, 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 click, 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 until it moves sensor by sensor to the right. Instead, you just push once on the left, and all of a sudden it's on the right side because you've enabled the wraparound function. Very, very good one. How long the meter stays on, you know? Could this be a more frustrating thing when you're trying to learn your camera? You want to look at all the settings, so you play with the menu settings, and you play with the meter settings, and then all of a sudden, like 4 seconds after you're playing, and you're just looking at it, it turns off. All these things are controlled in this custom menu function. So like there's a function on the D700 for how long the monitor stays on, how long the back of the monitor stays on after each time I press. The default was like, I don't know, 10 or 15 seconds, which made me crazy because I'm learning how to use it. So by using the custom camera function setting, even in preparing this podcast, I changed it so that the back of the menu stays on for 5 solid minutes. So every time I touch it, it stays on for 5 minutes. Great, great, great for learning. You don't want to do it all the time because it wrecks battery power. But again, just goes to show you that, if you are learning your camera, these are settings that you want to use to make the learning in and of itself more fun. Another feature that I like is that you could superimpose a grid on top of your whole camera. So normally we just have the focus points, either the central one, or you see 11 of them, or 9 of them, or 51, depending on the camera you have. But the D700 allows you to overlay a grid on top of that. Very, very, very nice feature for keeping the horizon straight. Very nice indeed, because it gives you a reference point. Again, default is set to off, so you're not going to see it unless you go into the menu functions. And another one, the beep. Some people like the beep. Some people don't like the beep. The beep, basically on the D700 and likely many other cameras, when the shot is in perfect focus, when the autofocus sensor precisely focuses on the target of your choice, you hear a beep. Some people love it, some people don't. I can't stand it. The default is set to on. You're only going to be able to shut it off if you go into the menu. That's a simple one. I guess many people already know that, but again, some people don't. Some people don't. Some people just buy expensive cameras and don't go through the manual. It pays to go through the manual. In a similar way to how I talked about the dials on the back of the 30D by Canon, you can also use the same custom functions to control what dials do what on the back of the D700 and likely your camera as well. And you can move those dials from left to right, up to down. You can set them the way you want to so that when you look at your pictures, when you review them, you know, if you press left to right, then they'll rotate from one to another. Or instead, you can press up to down and they'll rotate from one to another. It all depends on how you are used to working. If you're changing camera systems, one thing that I found a gift from God is being able to reverse the indicators on the Nikon camera. I'm a Nikon shooter originally, actually, but I've stopped shooting Nikon for the past few years because I've been shooting Canon in the digital format, and I've forgotten how silly Nikon's system is with the meter. With Nikon's meter, overexposure is to the left instead of the right, which makes no sense to me. If you're looking at a graph in math, zero is in the middle, negative numbers are on the left, and positive numbers are on the right. That's how it works in Canon. That's the right way it works. Just like in Photoshop, you know, the shadows are on the left side. The brightness is on the right side in Photoshop. That's how it should be on your camera as well. Nikon has it wrong, but thank God there is a function to correct this. And that was one of the first things I did on day one, even though I'd forgotten that that's how I was shooting in Nikon for all those years before I went digital. But the short-term memories we have in 3 years goes quickly. Finally, I'd just like to talk about one other thing that Nikon has done really, really well, and likely your camera as well, especially if it's been purchased recently, is Nikon has a My Menu setting, and I friggin' love this. And I'm going to tell you how to use it really, really quickly. So basically, when you change a camera function, you're changing the way your camera works. And let's say you're in the middle of a shoot, and you want to revert back that custom function that you've changed. Well, depending on your environment and the location you're in and the amount of pressure you're under, you know, sometimes these changes are deep within the menu and it may take you 30 seconds to 2 or 3 minutes. Sometimes these custom functions are not so easy to find. They're embedded in weird ways. I like the way the Canon system worked better, whereby I could just rotate through everything in one continuous menu. Seems to be more difficult and more complex in the Nikon camera. Anywho, Nikon did something really, really cool. So they have like a My Menu function. And basically you assign one button on the camera the ability to bring items from deep within the menu to the forefront of the menu. So this one is located right near where my ring finger is. So if I'm looking at the camera, it's probably around 7 o'clock, somewhere around there. By pressing that 7 o'clock button with my ring finger, all of a sudden, pre-selected menu items pop right up. So I use this for black and white. I often like to shoot in black and white, and I like my image to show in the viewfinder in black and white. It's just a beautiful thing to do. If you want to shoot in black and white, you want to think in black and white, then the image that comes on your viewfinder, it's nice if it's in black and white. Some people don't like it, whatever. I like it. And by pressing one button, I now have the ability to bring that option to the forefront of my menu. Another one that I like is the modes, right? So you can shoot in standard mode, in vivid mode. There's different modes that control how the photo looks. So if you want something really, really, really vivid, really a lot of smack, a lot of saturation, you're going to want to use that vivid button. But if you're in the middle of a shoot and you have to delve into the menu, it sucks. Again, using this My Menu thing, you just bring that item to the forefront of the menu with the press of one button, and you can switch from vivid to monochrome and back to the standard way you shoot, all at the press of one button. Very, very, very handy. Another thing that I personally use for that menu is I add the battery level inside. So yes, on the top of my menu, I could see bars that represent how used or spent my battery is, but sometimes I like to see the exact percentage, and by bringing that item to the forefront of the menu, I could do it really, really, really quickly. And I think that's going to do it for me. I don't want to go into each and every custom function in the D700. That's not the purpose of this podcast. It's just really to get people to sit down with a beer and a cigarette if they smoke and just go through the manual to make their camera work better for them. You've spent the money on your camera. Some of you have overpaid. Now's the time to get some value back. Okie doke. That's all I got to say about that. All right, Facebook fan page. So we started a Facebook fan page. There's somewhere around 300 fans, and I'd like to get more. 4 to 5 times a week, I scour the internet, looking for like a great photo that I think has punch in a variety of genres. I don't care what I'm looking at, but I'll find something. It intrigues me. I post it. A lot of people seem to be intrigued by the photos I choose. So all you have to do is join the Facebook fan page, and done. And then when you go, you'll see new photos. There'll be a link in the end of the show notes to join up really easily. The assignment this month is light and shadow. Some very, very, very cool results already for members of the forum. If you're lurking and you haven't joined, I've been saying this for a bunch of podcasts, please join. Our forum is growing. We're really a range of skills from absolute newbie to pro, most people falling somewhere in the middle, being enthusiasts or advanced enthusiasts, but really everyone is welcome. And even though I give the same critiques very often, it's my pleasure to do it again. Love to teach, and people seem to like the learning environment, the members we have thus far, so I do encourage lurkers to join. And the assignment's really cool, and Light and Shadow is a really cool assignment as well. Great, open topic for creativity. So, we're only into half the month now or so, lots of time to reshoot an image if you've shot one already, and join and show us your first image if you haven't already done so. If you wanted to review this sucker in iTunes, that would be greatly appreciated as well. I'm going to try and throw up a direct link in the show notes. If you're already using iTunes and you wanted to leave a review, it would be greatly appreciated. If you're using iTunes, you already know that you can get this podcast automatically. But if you're not using iTunes or any type of aggregate blog, podcast, catcher, you can use iTunes or Google Reader. If you have trouble, you can just email me, photography.ca@gmail.com, and I'll give you a couple of tips. And that way, this show and any other show that you subscribe to, the second you open up that program, you'll get all the latest feeds and information. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. We're at the end of winter. Spring is in the air. Great time to just keep being outside. What a mild winter we've had. So I'm just going to stop talking, and you guys just get out there and keep on shooting. Bye for now, everyone. Thanks for listening.